This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back. The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, fourseasonsgarages.com. Get all the info you need on a family-owned and operated business. Alongside Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. Mark is having a day-long celebration of President's Day. So wherever you're doing, whatever you're up to, Mark.
Is he even going to get off the Barca Lounger today?
I'm going to go with no.
What's the over-under in the amount of feet that Mark's going to travel today?
Let's see. I'm going to say 25.
Wow. I'll go over 30. Over 30.
All right. Let's bring in Christopher Martel. You can hear him on the neutral zone right here on 104.5 The Zone. Big weekend for the Preds. They have put together their first three-game win streak since October. They beat St. Louis on back-to-back days. On the road on Saturday, at home last night. Christopher, what's going on this morning?
Not much, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
We are good. It's hard to figure out from day to day, week to week, where this team stands in terms of, are they in the playoff race? Are they pretty much done? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Somewhere in between? How you feeling at this point, 1 point back?
It's become a week to week thing with the Predators. You didn't really know what to expect going into the last week, where Nashville would have been essentially looking at, well, I guess after losing a 6-2 against Vancouver. They were going in against three teams with 70-plus points in the Islanders and a back-to-back against St. Louis. And that's one of those kind of stretches where you can sit here and go, yeah, that's probably going to define whether or not the Preds are going to throw in the towel at the end of it. But Nashville comes away essentially with a clean sweep, 3-0-0 against both of those teams. And now they're in a position to where they can find themselves easily atop the wild card standings. As early as tomorrow against Carolina, which puts them in a pretty interesting position because having two games in hand on Calgary and three games in hand on Arizona, they could probably find themselves in at least a couple points ahead of both of these teams if they were to max out the points they can get in terms of finishing the games played in hand. And they could also find themselves scratching back towards the Central Division top three. So does that put them as buyers or sellers? I think I would make it more of a control situation where maybe they, because they're not going to be able to afford both Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith. So one of those guys is going to have to probably find his way out. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But if Nashville, based on some of the prices that we saw last night with a couple trades that happened, Nashville can get maybe a first-round pick and a good prospect for one of those guys and potentially bolster themselves with a defenseman somewhere, then I think they're in pretty good shape.
As far as the weekend and those two games, on Saturday you saw fights and physical play and all that stuff, and teams that are division rivals and everything. How did that sort of set the stage for what happened in those two games, you think?
I thought it was more Nashville coming out. I think part of it, you knew that Robert Bertuzzo was going to have to answer the bell for what he did against Victor Arvidsson. So you knew that was coming eventually. Props to him for dropping the gloves and essentially answering the bell. But in the same regard, I think Nashville had the mindset of, hey, this is a game where we need to set the tone. We need to come into their building and treat it like the last couple times we've been in their building. We need to go in there, have a physical game. If they want to get physical with us, that's fine. We'll go ahead and allow for that. But at the same time, we're going to put the onus on the Blues that they have to beat us. Not the other way around. Nashville's going to have to come in and try to find a way to win. The Blues would have to find a way to beat Nashville. And of course, even after Sunday night's game, Nashville's 4-0-0 against the Blues this year.
Which strange, is isn't it?
It's a strange set of events because for as wildly inconsistent as the Predators have been this year, they have been very consistent against the St. Louis Blues and against a team who is atop the Central Division, tied for the top of the Central Division right now with Dallas. It's it's interesting to see that Nashville pretty much has their number this year.
Our guest is Christopher Martel, who, of course, you can hear on the Neutral Zone right here on 104.5 The Zone.
Well, Christopher, man, thanks for coming on. I guess, first and foremost, the Preds have won 7 of the last 10 games. Do you think they have turned the corner, let's say?
You know, I asked that question to John Hines last night, and the way I asked it was that I asked him if the result of the last 3 games with the back-to-back wins and the win against the Islanders, was that more of a consistent buy-in from the team and the system that he was trying to build? Essentially, if the team has bought in and really turned the corner. And one of the things that he talked about when he first came to Nashville was that Nashville needed to find a better level of mental toughness. They needed to find that mental strategy to get them to the next level. He thought that there was something there that was missing. And I thought what he told me last night kind of really summed it up. And he said that he thought that the mental toughness and the focus had been better from the team. One of the biggest things that he said about it was that the team was playing for each other, not with each other. And I think that's a huge difference because it reminds me of what the team did in 2016-17. Near the end of the season, they started to really come together, and it looked like they were playing for each other, like they wanted to play to win the entire thing, not just playing with each other as a business, as a paycheck, however you look at it. And this is the kind of thing I'm seeing right now, is this team is starting to piece it together and really playing for each other. Now, if that's the kind of mentality they have going forward, then absolutely they've turned a corner. And it couldn't have come at a better time, if you ask me.
Well, I know Pecorini played really well at goalie last night, but do you think now is the time where Soros is the, I guess, the regular night in, night out goalie, and then Rene kind of is the, change up?
You know, I would say that right now that Soros is probably going to continue to get the majority of the starts throughout the rest of the season. But at the same time, you have to Pecorino is going to get a fair share of playing time. Nashville's got, I mean, just through March alone, they have 4 or 5 sets of back-to-backs. So, you know, Rene is going to have his time playing. There's no question about that. And it's a very compressed schedule. I mean, over the next 2 weeks alone, Nashville has 5 home games, and they have an away trip to Chicago on Friday. And then after that, they play 7 games in 2 weeks. So for the first 2 weeks of March. So I think it's going to be it's going to be a long stretch of hockey between now and the end of the season. But I do think that Soros is going to predominantly get the bulk of the carries unless something happens between now and the end of the year.
Chris, you've talked about this a little bit, but with the coaching change, with John Hines now in place, he hasn't been afraid to limit the minutes of, you know, some top guys who are making a lot of money. And also it's felt like a bit of a reset for Kyle Turris and maybe for Mikael Granlund. How do you think that dynamic has worked and how it's, you know, progressing in that regard with the new coach and the way he's handled this group of players?
I think he's handled it correctly. You know, Kyle Turris last night said that, of course he said that he was happy for the opportunity Hines has given him. But in the same regard, he said that Hines came in with a clean slate, and he essentially, he's given everybody their chance, and he's allowing players to earn their own ice time. And Hines said that almost exactly the same way last night. A question was posed to him whether or not he was, you know, giving ice time to Kyle Turris because of how well he was playing. And he countered it with the fact that he said that Turris essentially has earned his ice time. He has earned it with the way that he's been playing, going out there, playing the way that Hines wants him to play, but producing at the same time and continuing to play successful John Hines style hockey. And I think that when you look at the differences that these players have made when it comes to the Kyle Turris, the Craig Smith, and Mikael Granlund, they seem to be more comfortable in John Hines' system than they had been with Peter Laviolette. And I think that's a huge boost. And for a player like Craig Smith, he is, some people say, I like to say that Craig Smith scores when he wants to, but it's interesting. Craig Smith is averaging over the last handful of games less than 15 minutes of time on the ice. And last night he had 11 minutes on the ice, but he still impacted the game with a goal, you know? And so it goes to show you that you don't have to have 16, 17 minutes of ice time to be a successful hockey player. You can have 11 minutes, and it's what you do on the ice in 11 minutes that matters. And I think that's what John Hines has been looking at.
Your final few seconds here. Do you have fun at the fights the other night?
You know what? I have been watching boxing for 30 years, and it's the first chance I've had to cover a fight because, I mean, it's been since 97 since they had one in Nashville. And that was probably the most fun I've had in a long time. It was a blast.
Have a good day. Christopher, we appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, you too. From, of course, the Neutral Zone on 104.5 The Zone. That is Christopher Martel and giving us the update on the Predators with a big weekend they had, scoring back-to-back victories against the St. Louis Blues to get within 1 point of a playoff spot. 9:15 when we come back, Monday morning facial time. We got to pick up the slack for Mark, so we'll do that when we return here on The Zone. Hang around.